Hallelujah. Please be seated. He is so worth it and worthy to be praised. Well, praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Ooh, I have all these flowers up here. Look at this. Amen. The Lord is good. Well, this morning we're going to look, since He is a God who is so worthy, amen, we are going to look at 1 Corinthians 1. If you prepare your Bibles, I have 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25. Actually, Jenna did the driving this morning so I could go through all my notes, and I decided to extend it here. So instead of 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25, I'm going to bring this down to 18 through 31. Whoa, overtime. Might as well. It's like when you start to read Scripture, there's so much more that can connect in, amen? And this morning I thought we would, for the title of the sermon, I thought we would call this God's Wisdom and His Grace. Now, let me ask you this. Is there a time in your life you could say, I didn't live very wise? Is that you? Or, let's talk about grace. Can you say there's been a time in your life that you haven't been very gracious? So aren't you glad to know that the Lord is nothing like us, amen? Amen? But we are to emulate Him, and we have the best example ever given, Jesus, hallelujah. So God, wisdom, and His grace really comes to affect the lives of those that He's called, amen, His people, us. Who was here for Pastor Jeremy last weekend? I went home thinking about all the crazy things I did before I came to Jesus. I don't know if you had the same thing. But after Pastor Jeremy's testimony, I went home and thinking who I was before I met Jesus. Do you remember those days? You don't have to dwell on them, but do you remember those days of who you were before you met Jesus? I did some crazy things. And Pastor Jeremy's message and testimony really made me think, there's a moment in my life's history called Jesus that occurred. And that made all the difference. The big change. Hallelujah. And I am so glad that we all have come to be with Jesus, know Jesus, and know that truly He is a gift of God's grace to our life. Amen. And once we come to know His gift of grace, who was on the cross for us, we begin to learn what it's like to live a life of wisdom. And I want to be a wise person, amen? Don't you? I want to be a wise person. One of my favorite scriptures, I thought we would look at this here, is 1 Corinthians. It's kind of wild, too. You follow it with me and you see what you think. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 31. Let's look at this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Paul is saying a lot here. And he continues, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. This is what happened to me last week. Think about what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Lord, thank you for this word. May we be changed today because of it, transformed today because of it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't that an interesting passage of Scripture? The Lord is so different. He is so miraculously different from who we are as people, as humans. It's spectacular. But one of my favorite scriptures on wisdom, does everybody have a favorite scripture on wisdom? I'm going to share mine with you. If you go through Proverbs, you can find them. There's so many good ones. But mine is found in Psalm 111. Let me read it to you here really quickly. Psalm 111 really speaks a lot. And it says this. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever, and he has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All of his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in the faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. And it ends this way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And all who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. The fear of the Lord. You know, very often I realized that fearing the Lord, once I realized how to do that, it gave me better ability to trust in the Lord. Who has trust issues here? I know you're here. We need to learn to fear and trust the Lord. Amen. I remembered when it said here, all his precepts are trustworthy. Sometimes we forget the things that God says he will do for us. He will place in our lives. I didn't trust him for a Christian wife at the beginning of my Christian walk. Did you ever find yourself in a moment like that? I thought, Lord, I know how to make all the wrong decisions. But just so you're aware, part of the story I never told you was, when Jen and I were able to celebrate our 21st anniversary a couple weeks ago, we almost didn't even make it to a week, when you think about it. Because very often, we don't place our trust in the Lord. The first time I met her, when I flew out to the main Christian campus that we were both going to, there was another guy that liked her there. I didn't know. And then she said, hey, can you find him? Because it was a college campus, there were all these dormitories. Can you find this gentleman from Vegas, one of the dorms to use while he's here on campus? And you know where the guy tried to shove me? The janitor closet. No windows. There was a broom in there, though. If I wanted to do some sweeping, it was okay. And then I thought, whoa, this is a crazy first experience. We could have called it quits. And she came to Vegas a little bit after that, and she thought, whoa, Vegas is not for me. Anybody agree with that? I know you're here in this room. There are so many times, but we trusted the Lord. Amen. We need to remember that God has the wisdom. God has the grace. And when I desired to have a Christian wife, thank God, we stuck it through. We believed God for what he has for us. Amen. We should go check out that closet again if it's still there, honey. I ended up getting a room downtown in Santa Cruz. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be in a janitor closet. This is crazy. But I'll tell you, the one true way to wisdom is really to fear and revere the Lord. Amen. Proverbs 1, I bring you some more scriptures, 1:7-9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom. May we never despise wisdom. Amen. Fools despise wisdom, and they also despise discipline. Ooh, is that us? We don't want to despise the Lord's discipline. Listen, sons, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Ooh, we're being schooled here from the Lord. This will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. If you listen to your father and your mother's instruction, they will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. As a jeweler, I can tell you that's called heavenly bling. And we should wear it proudly, amen? There's so many things. My parents were very faltered people. Yours too? My parents were very faltered, but I have to tell you, the best thing they let me do was come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Heavenly bling, amen. Many times, though, people, they want to skip the part of fearing the Lord. Isn't that true? Most times they think that wisdom can be found in other places, life experience, academic knowledge, street smarts. If God is not the foundation, when you think about this, of all source of wisdom, then our decision-making can be poor, mistaken, flawed, ridden with mistakes, and painful. Does that sound like it's true? When we don't do things, I thought of something as I grew older. When I hit about 14, I realized I could block my mom's swats. Mistake. That was a mistake. And one time I threw an attitude at her. I said, blah, 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 blah. And I saw the hand coming. And I did one of these Daniel-san from Miyagi thing. Sha! San de floor. San de floor. I just started blocking it like a karate thing. And you know what she said? Wait till your father gets home. My wisdom, which was already down, made my fear factor go very high then. Wait till your father gets home. I tell Jenna to do that too as our son grew up. You know, he's kind of like this tall kid now, thinks he's a big shot. I say, you just tell him those words. Wait till your father gets home. But I'll say one thing. Wisdom. When you remember when Jesus was a little guy and he went missing? Remember Jesus went missing? Parents say, where were you? Where have you been? Why are you missing? And what does he say in wisdom? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? May we find ourselves here more and more. Hallelujah. Staying close to the Lord. And it made me begin to think, who are we hanging out with? Amen? Do you ever find yourself hanging out with the wrong people? Be honest. Do you ever find yourself hanging out with the wrong people? Because sometimes we have to remember that will infect us and affect us. Sometimes we hang out by ourselves and we're a little too isolated. Sometimes we hang out with the crowd, with friends, with coworkers. But are we hanging out with Jesus? Are we spending time in the Word? Are we spending time praying to Him, talking to Him, worshiping Him? We need to put Christ at the forefront. And if we hang out with the wrong crowd, have you ever been there? If you hang out with the wrong crowd, your environment will affect you. One bad apple spoils a bunch. I started to think about these old sayings we used to have when we were young. This stuff I remember from the 70s. One bad apple spoils a bunch. My wife always says this, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And I found this one while I was doing a little bit of studies in Cedar City. Don't blame a clown for acting like a clown. Blame yourself for going to the circus. I like that one. I thought that one was a good one. Solomon sums it up like this, though. Solomon says in Proverbs, the one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. What do you think of that? That means that pain is actually written into the script for when we are living outside of God's goodness. So the first thing I thought we'd mention this morning, number one is this. You can spend a lifetime accumulating wisdom. Isn't that true? We can be in books, we can be in universities, we can do all these things. We can spend a lifetime accumulating wisdom, yet never learn to have a relationship with God. Is that true? In other words, you can think you're the smartiest smarty pants on earth, but if you don't know Jesus, how smart are you really? So I'll tell you this, a lot of my life was lived without Christ, even though I thought I knew Him. But I think I wasn't as smart as I thought until I really began to learn to know what it's like to live a life of wisdom and accept God's grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Education, I thought I was pretty cool. I had a bachelor's degree in anthropology, a bachelor's degree in church ministries, a master's degree in history. It looks cool on a resume. I'm like, whoa, I get to type all these things. And once in a while, I'll pull it out of my little folder and look at it. But you know what? The most important thing I can do is to really become a PhD of God's Word. Amen? Become a PhD of His Word. Study it all the time, and it just pops into my head all the time because I've studied it. I've spent time praying over these things. My grandmother was such a simple lady. Not a big education at all, but she knew Scripture. I remember her cute little fingers that were riddled with arthritis, all bent. She'd just be in her Scriptures like this, and that was the same finger she would point at me and say, God's Word says, and she would just lay it on me. And I have to tell you, it's something so simple but so profound when you realize how strong Scripture is. Paul asks this, though. In our scripture, Paul says, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? They're all over our phones, aren't they? Isn't someone sending you something all the time? Where are the philosophers of this age? Has God not made foolishness the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, but God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. He's so worth it, amen? He's so worth it. He's the God that saves. To the world, the goodness and the good news of Christ Jesus crucified, it says here, is foolishness to the world. But he died for our sins and we have hope of salvation, amen? And this sounds foolish to the world, but I'll tell you one thing. The world bows at altars that are other than the Lord. The world bows at the altars of education. The world bows at the altars of power, wealth, influence, force, ruthlessness. And on a weekly basis, you'll probably hear way more about Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Elon Musk than you will about Jesus, Mother Teresa, Billy Graham. You'll probably hear way more about all the other people. But I'll tell you one thing. The world's wisdom will tell you that to succeed in this life, you need to build up your own kingdom. Isn't that the truth? But I have to tell you, today is the day to remember that infused into this world is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he didn't come like a big shot. He didn't pull up in a beautiful Corvette or a Ferrari and drive into Jerusalem. He came in poor, on a donkey, meek, humble, and he served everybody else except himself almost. Isn't that something? What an example of how God flips things compared to what the world wants to see. Christ offered his eternal kingdom to those who had nothing more than simple faith. There's nothing to work for, nothing to earn. And to the world really thinks of this as foolishness. But if we look at the Beatitudes, I'm going to read it to you here. I didn't mark my Bible on the drive over, so bear with me. I'm flipping through quickly. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I love this. Blessed are you when people insult you. What? Yes. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you falsely, say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This gives you a glimpse of who Jesus is. So truly, we are to forge relationships. Don't you love relationships? Maybe you don't. Sometimes I had to force myself to forge relationships with people. Sometimes I had to force myself to be a more people person. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? I forced myself to have conversations, to sound interested. But I'll tell you one thing. Jesus needs to always be our strength. Amen? Do you need strength? I just saw someone this last week at my job. We just kept going on a 13-hour workday. And it was like, this person just wouldn't slow down. I'm like, where are you getting all that strength? Like the Energizer Bunny. Someone just kept replacing the batteries. You've got to be kidding me. But I have to tell you, as Christians, we need to place Jesus as our strength and power. Hallelujah. This is how we can be the people that we are today, sitting here in this church. Even though we have our faults. Do we have our faults? Yes, we do. But I'll tell you one thing. Next time something comes against you, you don't have to run to Barnes & Noble and go to the self-help section. You just have to run to Jesus. Amen? He is our strength. Which is why second I wanted to mention this morning is this. Second is the wisest decision that you could ever make in your life is to give Jesus absolutely everything. Everything? Everything. Everything? Everything. And it's so easy to do. Not. It's hard, isn't it? It's not the easiest thing to do. Wait, wasn't that an 80s thing? Not. All right. Never mind. Try to connect with that generation. I'm the 80s kid, so I remember all these things. It was a rad age. Okay, never mind. I'll stop. The wisest decision we could ever make is to give Jesus absolutely everything. And I have to tell you, it's time that we stop withholding on the Lord. Amen? You know what I did this weekend? I wasn't always the most generous person on planet Earth. Do you know what I'm talking about? That might be you. But this weekend I decided I'm going to fill my little wallet when we go to Cedar City with tip money. I'm going to tip everybody. I just feel generous. I want to make sure people have tips in their wallet when they leave, my waiter, the whoever, what we're doing. But I have to tell you, I wasn't always the most generous person. We had a $48 check. I'll just tell you yesterday. We had a $48 check in St. George. My ATM only spits out the lowest denomination, tens, which I think is kind of cool. And I begin to struggle with myself. Do I really hand her a 10 on a $48 check? And I say, yes, I do. And I stopped withholding the 10 that's in my wallet, and I handed it to her. Then last night when we went to dinner in Cedar, our bill again was only like $40. I'm like, do I hand a 10 over? I mean, let me get the calculator, 15%. Give her the 10. Shut up, Ryan. And I gave her the 10. And then this morning when we were leaving the room, a lot of people don't think about tipping. Maybe sometimes there was a little thing to leave a little digital tip for the person cleaning the room. I threw some money there and I thought, cool. I need to remember not to withhold goodness, amen? Now, I'm not telling you have to be a monster tipper, but I'll tell you one thing. Did you ever see a show, maybe it was the 90s, it was called Third Rock from the Sun. John Lithgow was an alien learning how to be an earthling, and he goes for his first time in a restaurant, and he puts a stack of $1 bills on the table and tells the waitress, this is your potential tip, but every time something goes wrong, I will take one. If it's cold, if you forget to fill up the water, my ice cubes run low. And I remember to tell myself not to be John Lithgow, not to be stingy, because the Lord is not stingy, isn't he? He's gracious, and we need to stop withholding on him. It's time that we give the Lord our all, amen? What do we have in our wallets that we could be pouring into the Lord? I'm talking spiritually. I don't want to withhold on the Lord. I don't want to be someone that's half-hearted. I don't want someone to be withholding foolishly on things that I could be blessing a greater experience in Christ with. It's foolishness, though, to be more independent of Jesus when I really need to give all to Jesus. Amen? So I told my brother, I said, you know what, Marty, I think I have life down to do things. I'm always asking the Lord to forgive me for when I withhold on him. And I'm always thanking him for all of the great things in my life, from the shutters on my window to the family that I have. Forgiveness, repentance, and thankfulness. I was thinking about this beautiful blue sky. Did you know blue is my favorite color? Like your shirt, sir. I love that color. A blue, blue's my vibe. The Lord could have painted the sky any color he wanted. Couldn't he have made it red or yellow or green? He chose my favorite color. So as we were driving this morning, I thought, thank you, Lord, for putting the sky, painting it my color, blue. I always wanted a baby blue Toyota truck when I was a kid. But I have to tell you, it's always been my color. The Lord gives it to us every single day. When you leave today, go out there and look. Anybody like blue? Go see the sky out there. It's gorgeous. And this is what he does. We thank him, amen? We withhold nothing from him. Do you know D. James Kennedy? You remember this guy, this pastor? I'm going to read some words to you. D. James Kennedy states that an unexamined life may lead us into great conflict with the Lord. And you know life already has enough conflict of its own, he says. The last thing any of us need is conflict with the Lord. So we must examine our lives, withhold nothing. God is our maker, our creator, and he has made us with a specific purpose, C. James Kennedy says. And here is the main point. If we craft a purpose for our lives that does not connect with his purpose, then our purpose is doomed to frustration and self-destruction. Ooh. Ooh. I'm going to read it again. If we craft a purpose for our life that does not connect with his purpose, our purpose is doomed to frustration and self-destructiveness. All right, let's hasten on. We are supposed to give everything to the Lord. He gives it all to us, and we are to give it all to him. And this is the wisest decision that D. James Kennedy says ever. He says, as an example, a computer is a tool and a hammer is a tool, but they are designed and created for very different purposes. And if you try to use the computer with the purpose of a hammer, destruction is imminent. So we are designed to be in the family of God and to be victorious. Amen. So when you want to look for your meaning in life, truly, we give it all to the Lord, withhold nothing. Our last point this morning is this. And it's so simple. It was so simple, I thought, how am I even writing this? This doesn't even sound that fancy. God, in his grace or in his wisdom, if you want to put them both in there, God, in his grace and wisdom, gave the world his Son, Christ, crucified. It really is that simple. Why complicate the matter? Jesus crucified is what we are all receiving today. Amen. His body and his blood. The world complicates that which is made so simple, and that is the great mystery of the Lord. The world tries to work their way to be a good person, to earn their way. Isn't that true? You hear that? Oh, he's a good person. But we need Christ crucified in our life. Amen. We need the blood and the body, hallelujah, just like we did this morning, to bring peace to our lives, hallelujah. And speaking of peace, sometimes that's one of the hardest things to find in this world, amen? Did peace get attacked in your life this week? Anybody here? You have to remember that he is the Prince of Peace. And really often, adversity will come against us, hardship will come against us, and we can only know true peace when we come to fulfill God's purpose in our life. And what is that? Hallelujah. We need to ask for it. Amen. Doesn't the scripture say, my people have not because they ask not? And you know, Pollo Loco is always messing up my order. And I ask a lot too. Would you like anything else? They ask me, would you like anything else? Yes. I would like an extra side of onions. You think the onions make it into the bag? No, but I asked for it, but I didn't get it. And then I'll say, oh, you know what I would love to have? A little side of cilantro. You think the cilantro makes it in? 85% of the time, nope. Oh, but they asked. Or I'll say, yes, you know what I'd love is that avocado salsa. And I get home, nothing in there. And then Jana will say, why didn't you look in the bag? And I say, I'm not here to babysit. I am not here to babysit people. If they don't want me to have onions, I will skip the onions. If they don't want me to have the avocado salsa, if they miss my entire order, though, then I'm going back. But I mention that this morning because we have to remember to ask nonstop of the Lord, what is my purpose? What do you have for me, Lord? What is today all about? We have to ask, amen? And we should, because we don't want to be one of those Christians, my people have not, because they didn't even ask. And the Lord's not like Pollo Loco. They're not going to ask you and then go, forget it. The Lord's not like that. Aren't you happy? So God, he gave Jesus in his grace, and I'll ask you one thing. Do you truly know the grace of the Lord? Do you believe in it? Do you sense it? To many of us, grace might just sound like a theological word, like, really, what is going on here? But D. James Kennedy says it this way, grace is the cornerstone of your life. Grace can never be earned. It's from God. It is his undeserved, unmerited, and unearned gift to you. That's why that story I told you in the past when Kylie was home one day from school and I went and I got her. She just wasn't feeling the greatest. Probably wasn't the best decision, but I went and I got her that beautiful mint shamrock shake from McDonald's. And I came back. I said, baby, this is for you. And she goes, for me? It's almost like, what did I do to earn this? I said, no, it's just for you. And what did she say? This is the best day of my life. Kids and sugar, of course. But I'll tell you one thing. Really, this is the goodness that we have from the Lord. God chooses to love us because he is love. Amen? Hallelujah. So as we close this morning, I wanted to read just one story to you before we go. Because we're talking about God's grace, and sometimes God's grace shines in a very interesting way. Amen? Moments you didn't even expect. And one person that found out about God's grace in a very interesting way is Dr. Richard Lumsden. He's the former professor of biology at Tulane University and Medical School, and he was the former dean of the graduate school, and he understands the power of grace. His life was changed by it. And it says, the course of his life was totally reversed and his worldview was completely turned upside down with one single student that challenged him in his class. One single student in biology. For most of his life, Dr. Lumsden, who studied at Tulane, Harvard, and Rice Universities, he believed that evolutionary theory is science, whereas creationism is merely religious myth. Anybody go through that in school? That is what he believed, and that's what he taught. When the Louisiana state legislature, though, passed a law requiring that creation science be given equal time with evolutionary theory in the classroom, Dr. Lumsden was indignant. Who did these legislatures think that they were telling a PhD how to teach and what to teach regarding science? He said, I thought the whole thing was absolutely absurd. I was prompted at the point to give a lecture on the origin of life, giving creation its due with as much mockery as I could summon. For example, I would start the class by telling the students, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was hydrogen. After one such class, a student of his, a young Christian woman, came to him, and she complimented him very sweetly and politely. She said, great lecture, Doc. And he said, that got my attention because flattery always did. But then she went on and said, I have some questions. And indeed she did. She had a legal pad. And he could see that she had written line after line after line questions. So he decided to make an appointment with the student. Once they hit the appointment, she said, now I'm not going to challenge you or anything. I just want to get my science straight. Fair enough, said the professor. A while back you said that mutations are genetic disasters, so I want to understand how by natural selection mutations can produce new and better structures. He said, good question. I'll probably have to think about that. And then she said, well, wait a minute, but aren't the odds of random assembly of genes mathematically impossible? He didn't want to admit it, but the more he thought about it, it made perfect sense to him. So the fact that we're really here proves evolution, doesn't it? That's what he tried to tell her because he couldn't argue it. But of course, the fact that we were here proves nothing. The young student knew it, and so did Dr. Lumsden. For the first time in his life, he began to listen to what he was saying and what he was teaching, and that what he was saying didn't even make good scientific sense. They continued to talk about other problems. And after the student left, Dr. Lumsden continued to think about the questions that his student had raised. He said, "It dawned on me right then and there that evolution was bankrupt as a scientific theory. And well, if that were so, if life did not originate by naturalistic, materialistic, spontaneous processes, then what was then the alternative to explain?" And he said in one loud moment, "Oh my God, not in blasphemy, but in awe." In that moment, Dr. Lumsden's eyes were opened and a light shone in his soul. "What happened to me that afternoon was, first of all, a mortal embarrassment to me as an educator and a professor. Professing to be wise, I was made a fool. But second of all was a realization that God exists, God creates, and that's enough to turn a corner in anybody's life." So as we close today, his closing words, Dr. Lumsden, was, "The one led to the other. The culmination was finding myself before the saving altar, on my knees, stiff neck broken, obedience asking Jesus to come into my life to be my Lord and personal Savior." Today, Dr. Lumsden's life moves in a new direction. He's a committed Christian, a committed creationist who takes every opportunity to debate evolution and to teach the truth that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And none of this would have happened if a student hadn't taken the time, the opportunity to speak up, politely ask questions, gently raise the issues that needed to be raised. And that is the power of God's grace breaking through. Amen. So as we leave today, may we read Scripture in His wisdom. Hallelujah. And remember the grace of His Son Jesus that we need to give all to. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for all that you've given us, Lord. And may we give more and more to you of our life. It's not easy, Lord, but we're going to ask you for it. Hallelujah. We're going to ask you to help us, Lord. So we do that now. Lord, we ask you to help us give more of our life over to you every single day. Help that hard work to be done in our life, Lord, as we hand over more to you. We thank you, Lord, that your goodness, your wisdom, your grace, your mercy renewed every single day for us, Lord. And as we spend time together this day, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this church family. We thank you, Lord, for the blue sky. We thank you for cooler weather. We thank you for all of your good things. And Lord, I just ask you in Jesus' name, truly, that we are remembering your Son crucified today. Hallelujah. We're remembering the gift and the grace of God, that we will stop withholding things from you, Lord, that we will give you every aspect of our life, Lord Jesus. And not only that, Lord, that we will truly learn to forge relationship with you as you have forged your relationship with us. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's spend time together. If you need special prayer, stay behind. Otherwise, be blessed. Go live in God's grace and wisdom. Amen.